we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to another edition of a Purely Arsenal podcast. We're back. We took a little bit of time off. It just happened to be when we were losing again. Not a coincidence. And I've got Michael Harris with me.
Could be better. Jack, how are you, mate?
Yeah, it could be better. That's just Arsenal related, right? Family's doing it. Arsenal related. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the hope that kills you. It's the hope that kills you. James, James Johnson. How you doing, James?
Yeah, it's good to be back here with all three of us. It's good. It's nice. I'm excited. You know, I haven't got football to be excited about, but chatting about it, I can do. So.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's you don't want to talk about it in a way, but you've got more questions than ever when things aren't going right. That's why I know it. So I almost think about it even more. And, all the questions and very few of the answers, but we're going to talk about it.
I just want to say as well, to add to the caveat that you said a few podcasts back as well, it's not that we didn't all want to get together and chat, it's that we just didn't want to talk about it. It's not,
exactly. We didn't want to chat, we just wanted to avoid the topic that was really at hand.
That's the one.
Exactly. We've got 1,000 problems.
We love all you listeners, it's just sometimes we're like, no, not today.
Exactly. And it's really, I do want to be on more regularly after a defeat, and it's been more work-related stuff from my perspective that's just kind of thrown us off a little bit. But before we were on, it was just leading into the Man U game. We were so positive going into what idiots we were going into the Man U game. And actually, the downer started when the team was announced for the Man U game. And I remember we had a couple of injuries to keep. I think Saka was one. And I think all of us were like, oh, God, we're going to lose this one. And we didn't have a bad performance in the end. But we haven't talked about that game. We're going to more talk about the Wolves and the Villa game because they were unfortunately more significant in terms of the result and what it might leave for us in the season. Arteta needs to jump Leeds, or needs the jump Leeds is what we're going to call this podcast, leading into the Leeds preview. So we'll touch on the Wolves and Villa game, but we'll also touch on the Leeds game and a preview of that with all the ongoings. Obviously, there's never a week without drama at Arsenal. So as soon as you know there's no games, you know stuff's going to come out about players and you know journos are going, now this is the week, boys. This is the week. Have you noticed Arsenal aren't playing this week? That's when we put that one in that we've had since last February. They know what they're doing, don't they? I bet Ornstein Monday morning's going, here we go. But they love it, don't they? Love it. They know they're going to get the most clicks and we all jump on it, don't we? I'm included. I'm terrible with it. But so let's go Wolves and Villa. Let's talk some positives. The first half performance against Wolves, a lot of people have talked about it to the death, but it was probably one of our most positive performances under Mikel Arteta, wasn't it? But then it kind of leaves you this lingering feeling of what could have been, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Outstanding first half is what we've been waiting for, to see us on the front foot and everything being fluid and opening teams up, which it seems like we've got back to the last couple of games and having that difficulty to do that, to get through people, get around people. It was just a signal. That's what made everything so frustrating, because the way we played that first half, should have been, 3-0 up at least at half time. And then it's just the fact that we imploded right before the break. How many times have we seen it? Arsenal, in a favourable position just before half time, injury time comes up for the half, and you just think, just see it out, just don't do anything stupid, don't come out of position, just hold the ball, And we had the ball a couple of times, and we gave it away, and then obviously David Luiz stepping up, but he didn't need to. If he'd have stayed back with holding, that whole situation wouldn't have happened, and it's just little things like that. Which is compound everything, we played so well that half, we played so well. And to be fair, I wasn't impressed with Wolves at all. What did they do against 10 men? What did they do against 9 men? They didn't do anything. They just kept on hitting Traore all the time. That was their move. And, that compounded the whole result, because you just knew if we had 11 against them, we were winning 1-0 up, we would have taken them out differently. I think we would have won that game, and that would have just meant the whole team shape and the mentality and going into the next game against Villa would have been a little bit more different. But yeah, it was just frustrating, Jack, because we played so well. It was amazing stuff, amazing football that we played. And I'll take this opportunity to, you know, to hold my hand up about James's boy, Pepe, because I've not probably said it on here as much, but I'm a bit, you know, I'm not overwhelmed with him. And since he's arrived, and I think on the WhatsApp chat I've said stuff, you know, saying that he obviously he's a player, but he just doesn't seem to have it within him, the gumption within him to actually, you realise where he is and the opportunity. And yeah, he was outstanding against Wolves, and he's been outstanding the last three or four games, to be fair. And you know, and long may it continue. But yeah, frustrating for him, because that was an amazing goal he scored, and you know, it didn't count for anything. You know, that goal, the way he took it, the way he won the ball and started that move, that's the sort of thing that you think you walk off and you think, oh, we lost that. You know, I did that bit of magic, I did that work which the manager's obviously drilling into him, and he's pulled it off, and then, you know, someone else has chucked all that good work away. So really, really fantastic first 45 up until injury time of the first 45.
Yeah, well, there to not mention the referee decisions, which we'll get to. I want your opinion on it. Obviously, we're all very frustrated. But in a way, it was quite nice. In a way, I felt like the Wenger era of dominating teams and moaning about corrupt referees. In a way, I was like, oh God, I'm familiar with this. This is back to the old good old days. Do you know what I mean? But we'll talk about the referee decision. Certainly in the last two games, whether people think beyond that is another thing. But certainly within the last two games, I think they've not done us any favours, I'll say that much. But really positive, like Mike said on Pepe, James, it throws up the dilemma of how do we fit back in our 250 grand a week captain who's maybe for non-footballing reasons too, but whatever reasons it is vastly beyond off form. But I think the biggest frustration here, and the two biggest errors I felt at the start of the season, was one, removing Pepe so easily for a player that hadn't played a minute in Arsenal football shirt yet, I felt was very odd, considering he was probably our player of the cup semi-final and final other than Aubameyang. And the other thing still frustrates me is the lateness with the change to this system, because Arteta spoke for weeks about changing to this system, even when we were at the 3-5-2 or the 5-3-2, whichever way you want to look at it. And it was actually the Leeds game away, which was really the first time he did it, and I felt it should have been the first game at home against Fulham, even if you didn't have that 10 solution, because there was no way in hell that his solution at the start of the season was Smith Rowe. We know that. That wasn't his solution. He fell into that solution. Therefore, what was holding you back from making the change? And people will look at that and they'll say, well, hold on a minute. We won against Fulham and we won against West Ham. We were extremely lucky to win against West Ham. They dominate. They absolutely bashed us, right? And against Fulham, let's be honest, for the first six games, they were shell-shocked to be in the Premier League. We did well. We did okay. It really weren't that good until the first goal, but I'll give it to you. But that was the point to change it. We had 2 weeks leading into that game and two games that were winnable, even if you change your system. And that was the point, because after that, you had no time to change your system. And then what do? We go and change it 3 days after an international break, and we decide we're going to change the system there. Logically, for someone that's so forward thinking in Mikel Arteta and thinks so much about these things, I felt that was just almost just negligent on his part. But anyway, James, back to Pepe. What do you think about Aubameyang? How are we fitting him back in at this point? Because he has to come back in. We have to have a solution there for him. We've signed him up to a 3-year deal. He's our captain and he's the highest earner at the club. We can't have another Ozil-like situation here. So how are we including him when we've got people like Pepe, like Mike said?
Yeah, I think he's going to do like he did with him earlier in the year with Willian coming in. I think he's just going to go, I'm dropping you, I think he's just going to drop him again. Sadly, that's... I just think the outlay's too high, and the fact that he is the club captain, he's going to have to make the risk. He's all the time told us that he is not a down the middle player. He tried him down the middle. It didn't really work. Me more so, it didn't work because we're playing this football like we're currently playing, where we're bombarding teams that have 2 6-foot-plus centre-halves with crosses every day to people like Lacazette and Aubameyang, who, let's be fair, in terms of goals that they've scored in the air, I think we can count them on one hand, maybe for both, let alone one or the other. So there you go. So
looked it up. I looked it up. It's 3 for Arsenal, and I swear they're lying because I don't remember.
was it the Leicester one in Lacazette's debut? Like when he first literally come in, that was that was a big one.
And Lacazette, in fact, he scored a screamer against Atletico Madrid header when we went 1-0 up and then lost Koscielny's mistake late on. So he's better in the air than Aubameyang, without doubt, but neither of them are really that good. But you carry on.
Yeah, no, it's a harsh, in a way, it's a harsh reality, and it's a case now of, okay, if Pepe's going to go out, even though numbers wise, especially lately, he's been far, far better than what a lot of expectation was of him. And I think Arteta said today, didn't he, that he's gone back to doing his fundamentals that he wanted. And now the technical level can go up because he's got fundamentally better. And I think that's what we always said, weren't it? There was a lot of us that sat here and were like, well, James, if he'd done the basics a bit more, I know that he can do 30 step overs as he could do this, but, you know, he doesn't help the fullback, or, you know, when he's in those positions, he's not taking the shots on, or he's not being as brave as he should be and everything else. And I think moving him to the left has done him a world of good. Because when he's on the right, everyone can read. Yeah, he's going to cut in. So I'll just, I'll stay in there. And I think that where that side of his game's gone now and he's cutting in naturally, I think that's improved him a lot more. But yeah, sadly, I just think Aubameyang's just going to come back in regardless. And if that's the case, then when you touch on the centre mids later, who you put in the centre mids, I'll comment on it then, because that sort of leads into why I think Aubameyang's going to come back in as well.
Like you said, he's going to bring him back in. There is a couple of ways that I think he might adjust, and we'll talk about the Leeds game. We'll get onto that one. So in the end, I mean, we're going to get back to the refereeing decision. I'm trying to do positives, so it doesn't sound like I've been too positive. I'm trying to do a few positives, but in the Wolves game, you kind of left. The most disappointing thing I was, other than the referees, which we'll get to, is really how we were from 10 men to 9 men. I didn't feel we were positive enough. And that gets on to the fact of, if we're going to go down to 10 men so often, maybe we learn to play with them, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not necessarily saying I blame Arteta for every red card that we've had, but the fact is we've had 10 red cards under Mikel Arteta. No other manager's had a third of that since Arteta's been the manager. You think by that point, if you're going to continue to play players like David Luiz, you might as well start to learn how to play with 10 men. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's not the first time we've had a red card to him, even though this one was, in all of our eyes, not justified. But I find it frustrating, very, very frustrating, when we're down to 10 against a team like Wolves that we knew was creating very little. They haven't got their striker, been really poor all season. And we have to win these games. I find it frustrating that we're not more gung-ho. But and his substitutions, Mike, in both games, you can talk about the Villa game as well, really frustrated me in terms of that. You know, you talk about the Willian one against Villa, which I felt was really unnecessary. But then the first substitution was to take off our number 9 in Lacazette, to bring that centre back on. And I felt you should have just gone against Wolves. I felt just keep the three up there, take off one of your midfielders if you want to, and it's basically play like you were playing all of last season in the sort of the back three and counter-attacking. And I just feel sometimes with substitutions that look quite basic to me, but I'm not a manager, I think at the high pressure points, he's getting them wrong quite a lot, Mike.
Yeah, he's learning again. We touch back to what we said a couple of months ago. He's learning on the job. And should that be the case, that's another tangent to go on. But in that situation, we're not professional players by a long shot. But when you play over the marshes or whatever we've played at, if you go down to 10 men, you need to have an outlet. You need to have someone that you can get out and you can hit the ball up to, and they hold it for a couple of seconds. They get a foul. They'd be a bit cute with it. They might be able to dribble past the defender who's probably going to be end up marking him because they can pick him up because he's a spare man. But you've got to have an outlet. You've got to have someone that you're going to knock it up to. And the last couple of games, Lacazette has been excelling at that. He's been doing that, so well. And that's why it was so bizarre to take him off of all the people, you know. And you had, you know, Emma Smith Rowe trying to do his best and trying to do doggies and everything like that, and that's probably affected his performances. You know, he's still doing his bits, but you know, you can see there's a little bit of an edge off of him. And I think coming to the whole Aubameyang situation, I think he might be the one to get pulled out for a breather, possibly. But you know, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, like I said, he should have stayed on against Wolves just for that outlet, because he brought on Aubameyang. And you know, did he get a touch, you know, later on when he came on? He's just making those kind of strange decisions, you know, substitutions, and again, it's probably because he's maybe overanalyzing things and the guys are in his ears on the touchline. But Lacazette should definitely have stayed on, because he just would have given us that opportunity to move up the pitch and not be camped in and stuff. Because again, you know, even in that situation, Wolves weren't impressive at all. I still think we could have nicked something until Leno did, you know, his juggling act. But it was a frustrating night, and I think everything just kept on compounding on the mistake from before. So you know, what Luiz done, and then obviously the manager decisions he made, and I think again that we'll touch on that again in the Villa situation and what happened there. But you know, Lacazette should definitely have stayed on.
Yeah, and I agree with you on the Aubameyang one as well. I just found it really weird that we were going to be in a low block. We were looking for guys that were all energy defensively, not losing their man, right? And then looking to break with carriers, basically, of the ball. Aubameyang's neither of those things. He's a low-touch player that wants to be in the box. We weren't getting near their box, so why bring him on? You know what I mean? Just bring people on. Like, Martinelli would have been perfect in that situation. Bring him on and make him run with the ball and scared of living daylights out of him. I found that really odd. But again, yeah, it's frustrating. Leno was obviously, he's been fantastic, we've said it, but it was a really big error. I mean, that's a really silly misjudgment of the ball, and you can't argue with that decision. In the Villa game, James, I felt, I for some reason, I kept comparing it, because we lost 1-0 at Villa late on last season, and it was quite a similar game. Lost a goal early, they penned themselves back in, and I'm looking at it going, okay, they're greatly improved this season. People saying quick fixes can't happen, by the way, you know, progression is always, you know, slow, and they've gone from relegation battlers to European challengers in the space of half a season. But that can't happen with us, because we, you know, we've got two mismatches, but we've only got 170 million worth of strikers to deal with. So it can't happen with us, apparently. But I just find it a little bit, don't get me started on the progression fans. It's a nightmare. But, what do you think with the Villa? I felt we did. I mean, we only created three shots on target. They had eight. But I did feel, I mean, we were definitely better than we were there last season. I did feel our creativity was better. I just felt, you know, when we got into the shooting positions, we were a little bit wasteful. Are you seeing any improvement? And I've seen a little bit. I'm not sure I'm seeing enough in terms of when we're teams are penned in and we're trying to break them down, James.
Yeah, I mean, 65% of the goals that we've conceded this season are all in the first half. We're a team that are struggling to break people down as it is. When we're trying to break people down when we're a goal behind, it's even like this team at the moment just can't continue to play catch up. And, you know, the Villa game, all right, Cedric makes the mistake, or he has the emergency. He dials 999 and then Rob Holding doesn't turn up to help him. You know, I got pelters because I said that I thought Holding, for however brilliant he's been this season, I said the Wolves game, I think he should have done better to help Luiz. I know Luiz got a lot of it, but I think Holding weren't, you know, fully innocent in that as well. And then the one against Villa, I'm just like, where Watkins was and the space that Watkins has, that's the space that Lacazette and Aubameyang are striving for. They're dreaming to have that space. And, you know, I'm sorry. I thought he didn't do well enough there as well. And it's just really, really difficult. Like there's certain things, like you've said, that are going right. You know, you look at that Wolves, that was the best we've played all season until obviously the red card, like Michael said earlier. And again, it comes back to the finishing as well. I think we're something like we've had the seventh most shots in the league, But yet we've hit the post like fifth, we're like 15th in terms of like hitting the woodwork. Like it's ridiculous. And
last time I checked, we created 13th most big chances in the league, and we're mid-table for the most chances. Better than we were earlier in the season. We were about 17th, 16th. So we've improved, but it's not still not where we should be for 170 million worth of talent.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it just all reeks of like what Michael said of the inexperience. You know, you're bringing these players on and you can sort of get it. But when you're looking in the big picture and you're like, well, from what I'm seeing, they're getting, you know, Matty Cash, for example, in the Villa game, I thought he played brilliant. But I'm like, okay, well, he's getting, you know, he's getting chopped up here. He's getting chopped up by Pepe, but yet you're going to move Pepe back to the right to accommodate Willian for whatever reason. And I'm like, Willian, if you look at his pass map, most of it was backwards. And then he gave the ball away near the edge of the box and they nearly scored again. And I'm like, what are you doing putting him there? Keep, for me, I would have been like, right, Danny Ceballos, because I need to win that ball higher. That's the guy who his recoveries in terms of the final third, let alone just overall recoveries, is brilliant. Ball progression's brilliant. I'm like, get that guy in. When they're trying to go on the counter, because that's all they wanted to do, they didn't want to properly play football. They were just like, look, we'll wait for them to come. Like we've always said all season, give Arsenal the ball because they're not going to do anything with it. You know, that game could have ended. We could have still been out there, and for another 45 minutes, we still want to put the ball in the net. So, the game plan just went every, you know, Smith Rowe's becoming an 8 and then a 10 and then a wide player. And it was all just an amalgamation of, oh, let's just do anything for a goal. And it's just like, well, no, there's got to be some nuance to it other than let's just throw the bare bones. Because I'm like, if you're throwing the bare bones at it, keep Gabriel up top and just pump the ball in and see if he's going to header it. If that's what you're desperately trying to do, and to be fair to him, when he was in the final third, Gabriel, when he was doing that, he weren't that bad.
Winnable in the air. Yeah. He's looked very rusty, Gabriel. I mean, even for the goal, I don't think it was his fault, but make a decision there. Do you know what I mean? Like the ball's there. You're probably not going to win it. So either take the guy out or start running back to your goal. But he does neither and just kind of lets him go past him. And he's very flat-footed there.
That's another one all season for us, the lack of engaging. How many times have we all sat here and we're like, you've got to stop that at source? And none of them do.
Yeah. And like you said, we can't play catch-up. We can't keep making these sort of schoolboy errors and expecting to come back from
it. But that's the problem as well, Jack, is Aston Villa, right? They in the league, they're third in the league for scoring the quickest. And I'm like, surely they've all been briefed on this. Like, if we've got this data to hand, surely the people inside the club have. So they must go, look, they're quite rapid in terms of scoring the first goal and everything. So just 10, 15, 20, just calm it down. And Cedric, I know he's inverted and everything else, but he plays that suicide. And it's just like, what are you doing?
But that's the thing, James. Sorry to jump in, but, you know, I was talking about decisions and errors and mistakes compounding, getting on top of each other and adding to it. You know, you would have thought after the furore that happened after the Wolves game with the referee and the decisions, and then we see that what happened in the United game after, you know, that night, hours later, the same situation, and then one player gets his red card rescinded, you know, the other one doesn't, and you think you go into the Villa game and you're saying to yourself, look boys, these lot embarrassed us 3-0 at the Emirates, right? Proper turn this over. Yes. Go out there with a little bit of pride and make sure we don't do anything stupid in the first 10 minutes. You know, let's have a bit of pride. And then, like you said, Cedric does that pass, a hospital ball in the first 2 minutes. And, you know, if he does that after 89 minutes, so we've defended well and we've had a couple of chances, but we're hanging in there, and he does that because he's unfit or whatever, or lack of concentration, you're thinking, all right then. But he does that 2 minutes in, and then you've got 82 minutes to, you know, you've got 88 minutes to try and get out of that. So you're relying on your teammates and you're relying on your manager to make the right decisions at the end. Now, how the hell can you, do you look at Willie, look at the bench, you look at Willie and you look at Martinelli and you say, all right, I'll have Willie over you? Because I don't think Arteta really fancies Martinelli, because I think he's a bit of a maverick, right? And I say that because Martinelli, you see, we know what Martinelli's like. He's 100 miles an hour, perpetual motion, always going forward, always pressing, trying to make things happen. Like, we win the ball, he wants to go forward. Arteta, when he wants us to win the ball in transition, it's like he wants us to go back to start this pattern off. Goes out to the left back, goes across the other side, trying to pull people, the opposition out of spaces into holes and pockets. It's like he doesn't seem to trust or like the way Martinelli, because I don't understand how you pick Willian over him. You know, in that situation, 20 minutes ago, where you want someone to sort of get amongst it and try and cause something to happen. So again, you know, that's a manager making the wrong decision. You know, compounding the error that's been made right at the start of the game. So again, yeah, I just had to say that.
Do you both think it's contractual? Because literally, the only thing for me is I'm looking at it with Willian and going, there's something in there. There's something in there that maybe it's just the first year, but
I think it's a pride thing. I think he knows he's put his eggs in the Willian basket. And although he's taken him out the first team, which basically he's been forced to do, because you can't not take him out the first team when he's sick and we suddenly start winning, you can't bring him back in because we've been losing all the time. So he had to do that, but he's still trying to get something out of this player that he put as his first real signing after the summer window. I think it's a pride thing. He's trying to still get it at something out of a player that basically looks like he's got nothing left in his ear for a retirement, and he's followed on from the other Chelsea boys. It's weird on Martinelli, Mike, because you say that, and I still feel he doesn't know how to integrate Martinelli. And sometimes I wonder whether it's an Aubameyang issue where he doesn't feel he can play both of them at the same time. So if one's on the pitch, he doesn't want to bring the other on. There's a lot of sort of evidence over games to suggest that he doesn't do that kind of thing. But today he came out and said, we have to be patient now. He needs to recover properly because he's going to be absolutely key for us. So he speaks about him really highly. He when he did come back from this initial injury, he did throw him back in against City in the League Cup, and then he got injured again. So although how did he
get injured, Jack? He got injured by Kirk just, you know, trying to make something happen, trying to create a situation, and yeah, he got maybe enthusiasm, whatever. But that's what I mean. I think it's that sort of his style of play, because he's a bit of a maverick, you know, and he is a team player. But because he's got that element to side to him, I don't think Arteta really sort of, you know, enjoyment is probably the wrong word, but he relies on someone like, you know, like a Willian, who will, rather than take that risk and break through the lines, he will pass it back to Xhaka, and then he will recycle it and go over to the other side again, and like chess, you know, move him that way, and then that will create that space there, and rather than go bang, you know, look, oh, there's this gap there, just hit it, you know. So
it's weird, isn't it, because a lot of us maybe see him eventually sort of filter in centrally, but Arteta, I don't think Arteta has ever played him centrally. Maybe he's brought him on briefly. He's always played him from the left or right, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I think it's only the left.
Yeah, and the majority of time he's used him, it's been when Aubameyang's not been fit. Last season against Chelsea away, Aubameyang was out. I think it was his 3-game suspension. This season, when he came back against City, and then I think he started against Chelsea in the home game, Aubameyang was out. So where he's played most of the time under Arteta is when Aubameyang has not been playing. So it's, again, how is he? But he has to make these things work, right? If we're going to stick with Mikel Arteta, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, we're not someone that calls out managers and says, get rid now. Might have done at the end of the Emery era, I can't remember. But we, you know, generally, we're not. But if we're going to stick with him, and there is an absolute argument at this point, especially if the season ends up like it's looking like it's going to in the league, on both sides, you have to be able to, at the very least, understand the argument on both sides. If someone says to you, I think we've got to get in someone, you have to understand it. Because even Arteta himself, and I'm moving on to the next topic before I hit the refs, but would have to say he's failed if he doesn't make Europe this season. So, you know, if the own manager and his superior in Edu are saying this isn't what our target was, then it's quite understandable that the average fan is going to say that. So I don't like it when own fans come out and say, oh, you're just throwing it in, you know, you're so quick to condemn someone, throw someone under the bus. To be honest, his own goals he hasn't met. So if he hasn't met his own goals, how are we not going to do it? You know what I mean? So I find that frustrating.
The thing as well is, Jack, is I know that people like him. I know that he's fashionable. He used to play for, he was the captain, for goodness sake, you know.
Yeah.
He wore the shirt Michael's wearing.
Of course he did.
Yeah. In a final.
And we won it. League in that kit.
And we won it. We won the final. Villa, wasn't it? And
was it? Hold on. No. Villa was Puma. Villa was Puma.
Oh, was it? What was the one?
This was 2011-12, I think.
Yeah, this was the British Corps shirt.
British Corps. You know, when they were Ramsey was
all
flying
outside the stadium.
That's it.
When
that's
all
it.
Outside
yeah,
the stadium. Yeah.
Yes, Ramsey was flying.
Yeah, and they're all gone.
Johnson, Ramsey, Fox.
Oh god. Yeah.
But no.
If Wenger had this British Corps, I tell you.
get back to my point. The thing is, the goalposts by fans continuously move, and if you critique that, you're some kind of terrible person. And I'm like, no. I know everybody wants the same for Arsenal. However, I don't know if it's just me, but I've gone from a team that I've got to win the league every year, to top four, just get the top four. Now it's become top six. Now I'm hearing top 10. And I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm sorry. I know that we're nowhere near where we want to be. And so much has got to change, not even just from a manager, from a whole club level. Like, we've got to own our size more. Recruitment's been too poor for too long. I know these guys are coming in and everything else, and hopefully it changes. Like you said a couple of pods back, Jack, the summer coming up, whoever the manager is, and I think it probably will be Arteta, this is the biggest chance in years to rip it up and go again. But I'm like, I don't like saying excuses because I feel that's quite a harsh word, but it's the moving of the goalposts that I do not like, because any other manager would not be allowed. I don't think if it was Emery in charge, there'd be no way people would go in top 10s all right.
The problem, I know
that's probably because he's won us that cup. So the cup sort of buys him time. And I know we live in this instantaneous society where everything's got to be bang, 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 bang. You know, if I want to watch a film, Netflix, bang. If I want to listen to a song, Spotify, bang. And people think football's the same, and it's not. However, this squad, for me, is good enough to be where we are. It's just the inexperience and then the recruitment and everything else, like I said, that's causing the issue. But like you said, no European football whatsoever is a failure. And even with a cup final win, I don't know how, without going, right, we're going to give you 250 or so million in the summer, that fans can accept.
We ain't spending a minute.
Well, I know, but you've got to do something.
25, that's what we're saying.
There will be fans going, you can't justify this guy still being here. And then that whole divide again, which none of us have wanted.
I want to get Mike's opinion as well on this, but I think if you do go, and I'm not saying don't go with him, right? I'm not saying don't. I think it's really hard though, Mike, to say there's been, even from the manager's perspective or fans, to say there's been progression if we don't make Europe one way or the other this season. And I'm talking Europa League too, right? I mean, I even said earlier in the season, I said, if he makes top seven and we sneak into the Europa League, I would say, okay, I can logically see that's not asking too much as an Arsenal fan. No way is that asking too much. People say, we've got a mismatch of squad. Look at it. Look what he's dealing with. Oh, we've got the talent. We've got the talent in that squad. You can get more out of that squad. No question about it. We've got the talent in that squad. Don't give me that. We got 27 goals in 23 league games, okay? That is a shocking return. And in the end, all of that lies dead on the coach. So, I mean, how are we measuring progress would be a good question. But where's the league season left for you as well, Mike? I mean, at this point, I think it's almost pretty much dead and buried, to be honest, the league season. What about you? We've got really tough games coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the next couple of games, they're all tough. I can see us picking up maybe one or two points in terms of draws. I can't, you know, especially some of the away games. But I think, you know, I think James not hit on the spot. I think for years, even when we were at the Emirates and when I was working there and talking to the fans and talking to staff there and how Arsenal operated, we operated as the what was it? So we're like the biggest small, we're the biggest club with the smallest mentality or something like that. You know,
sleeping giant.
Not so much sleeping giant, but the way we go about things. You know, it's like small time. You know, we're a massive club, and like Jay said, we don't punch our weight. I know the whole thing was, oh yeah, we're going to move to the Emirates because you're going to be up there with the likes of Bayern Munich and what have you. But we didn't even, you know, the way we approach transfers, the way we try to get good players, you know, off, you know, this is going back the likes of Gary Cahill when he's at Bolton, you know, offering really derisory transfer fee and things like that. We've just always not acted up the size we are. You know, historically we're the third biggest club in the country. And we don't act like that. You know, people always, you see on Twitter the number of trophies won and London's red, yeah, whatever, but we don't act, you know, and that's always been, obviously, from the top down, it's continued to be like that. And for me, even though it's been a shocking season, we've got to get European football. You know, Arsenal Football Club has to be in European football. You know, you can't compare Chelsea because obviously the likes of the money that they get, but in the season that they had a transitional season, on when we couldn't buy anybody, or they still got into the Champions League, whether they snuck in, you know, they just squeaked in, but they got there. For what people say about Solskjaer, you know, about how he's got into the Champions League. So for me, for Arsenal not to be in Europe is a failure. I still think it's on to get into Europe because of the way how tight things are, the way some of the results have been happening and you know, some of the surprising results we've had. But no, for me, if he doesn't get in there, for me, I'm 50-50 in terms of, do you give this guy the chance to mould his squad even a little bit more? Because if he doesn't come out of the traps, if he doesn't come out of the traps next season, and we're in November and we're struggling, and I think he's that they've got a big decision to make, because then you have the January window coming, and you've got to make that decision again. But you know, Arsenal, we need to be looking at European football, man. We can't be looking at anything beyond anything less than that. That's you know, look at Emery's last squad, or last 18-man squad when he got his last game, and look at Arteta's last squad. If they're fit,
he's got much more to work with.
Compare them, and tell me which ones are stronger. For all the shower of shit that team were, that squad was with Arsene Wenger, he got him fifth.
Yep.
If we didn't bottle it against Palace, and we didn't bottle it against, was it Brighton? You would have got us in the Champions League through the league rather than the Europa League. So, he's got a better squad. You know, he's got rid of a lot of the deadwood. So for me, if he doesn't get into Europe, that's a big failure, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with you completely there. And I think even if we don't, logically we're thinking at this point, even if we don't, we're going to stick with him. But if we do that, in the summer, Edu or someone on the board has to be on top of him to be saying, okay, we're going to stick with you. You didn't achieve what we asked you to do. I know some stuff's come out about us giving him this season as a free. I do not believe that for one second. Not one bit. I don't believe we said that. I'm certain we would have said, OK, Europa League minimum this season. I'm certain of it, because Arteta spoke about himself when he came in. He said, we're a Champions League club. We need to be back in there. So at the very least, we're getting what we got last season through you for half a season. No question about it. Like, so that's bollocks. But anyway, like, I agree. I just wonder if we're measuring progress because of Arteta. Some people will say we're measuring it because of what we've done in the transfer window, like removing of Deadwood and who we've brought in. I'm sorry, though. That's always measured on the pitch, right? It doesn't matter what you do off the pitch. You only measure what you do off the pitch in terms of transfers in and outs with, has it positively affected you on the pitch? You can't sit there and go, wow, we removed Ozil, Socrates and Mustafi for free. And I'm like, well, but we're still losing games. We're still playing terribly.
What do you get when you win a transfer window.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. We win every window.
Yeah.
So I just find that, and I agree with Mark. I think, you know, it's a long shot at this point, I think, because there are some good teams left in Europa League. We've got a question from Bernadette on it. But I mean, we can't suggest that this is progress if we don't make Europe, right, James? The football's not been good enough for us to say that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we're pointing a lot of fingers at the manager, rightly so. But the players as well, right? The players...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bellerin is their PFA representative. And when they went through the pay cuts, he said 12.5% players went deal. So if we get no Europe this year, they lose 12.5%. If they get in the Europa, they lose 7.5%. If we get Champions League, even via Europa, they'd lose nothing. So I'm like, even you as men, to save yourself, to be greedy and go, I've got more money. I know, and I know when they're a footballer, they're getting money all the time. So, mate, you know, it's not like yourselves where I'll work a bit harder to get my kid that Xbox for Christmas or those new shoes, or my wife wants such and such, I'll work harder and buy her that, or I might want something for me. I'll go and work. But there's a bit of pride that you want to see, you said it earlier, from them as well. I'm like, because again, it comes back to what I've said ever since Eduardo got injured at Birmingham and William Gallas was sat there on the pitch. When there is a big sign of adversity, they drop. Other than the Aaron Ramsey game against Stoke where they carried on and they won, it just seems like whenever something bad happens, they all drop. And I'm like, but that again is the lack of leadership on the pitch, because there is no one there. Like we said, after Cedric did, there wasn't anyone there to just go, lads, you know, like Tony Adams. If there was Tony Adams there, he'd have gone, right, we're a goal down, but settle down and let's get back. And it just all seems as a collective, they're like, oh, bugger.
Yeah.
I mean, Wolves, okay, we complimented him when Renarsson come on and took the free kick at the end. But before he took it, he was shitting himself. He was looking at Arteta going, I don't want to kick it, boss. I don't want to kick it, boss.
Yeah, he did all right, actually, when he came on.
It was a really... Yeah, but the delivery for the free kick was really good as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He looked like he was terrified.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can't... I know he's come from France Division 2 and it's Arsenal. And it's massive. It's a massive shirt to wear. But we can't keep having this fear, because, like you said about stagnating, everyone else is getting better. And people keep going to me, yeah, but West Ham are higher than you. Yeah, they are, because they're working well as a collective. As well as that, we got individuals as well that are brilliant.
Again,
but West Ham aren't being carried by a 19-year-old as well. That's the other point I want to say. Saka's our best player. And yeah, for all he's well, you know, we say he's world class and everything else, he's 19. And I'm like, that's the pressure is immense. It's immense. Yeah.
And that's where I struggle with the progression thing, when people say, well, look at us, look at, you know, what we've had to get rid of. I'm like, okay, but there is absolutely no reason that West Ham, Villa, you know, Leeds should be finishing ahead of us in this league. There's just no Leicester. They should not be finishing ahead of us in this league. You know, look at their squads. People have sort of talked about, listened to a few podcasts about injuries. I think we've been quite lucky with injuries. Other than Partey, I think we've been quite lucky with injuries this season, right? We always moan about injuries and costing us. Compare us to the teams around, I think we've done okay injury-wise, to be honest. We've had a few niggling ones. Tierney, obviously frustrating. Played a lot of games, though. As good as Tierney was, we weren't any better when he was playing week in, week out in terms of our results. Do you know what I mean? So I just think we can't judge. I'm concerned with how we're measuring progress as a collective, right? Fan base is what it is. But I think as a collective, I'm not sure another big team would give, no matter what the manager is, whether he's a new manager or whatnot, I'm not sure another big team gives a manager a chance in this situation. Someone said to me, well, what about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? I said, as bad as I think he is, and as much as I think Mikel Arteta is better than him, he's still got top four. Do you know what I mean? He's still got that. And okay, you know, we won the FA Cup with Mikel Arteta, but we all know you judge a side really by your league form, and that's been poor for a while, and that's what Arteta has been focused on improving. If we do decide, Mike, at some point within this next three-game window or after it, which I think we might have to if results go a certain way, that all our eggs have to sort of filter towards the Europa League basket. How would you change things, mate? How would you change things in the league to sort of focus more on that? And also focus more on who probably is not going to be here come summer.
I think the key issue here is going to be Partey's injury, which is looks like it could possibly be something disastrous and long term. It's crazy, right? You know, this guy, he's missed what, 5 games or 6 games in 5 years for. Atletico, he's missed 10 already for us. You know what I mean? It's insane. But I think, you know, you have to try and blood, some of the youngsters, play them a bit more, try and get a bit of identity. You know, we've talked about, you know, maybe someone like Aziz coming in, you know, featuring him on the bench a bit more. Odegaard might come in I think what you said before, I think playing Xhaka on his own with maybe, you know, Elspeth Rowe and Odegaard ahead of them. Obviously, we have the legs a bit further forward, but that's an option to put on, you know, to chase a game. But I think you have to start putting trust in the youngsters again. I mean, we could talk forever. If it was fortunate the way it happened with him playing the youngsters that got him out of jail against Chelsea, was that, you know, obviously with the situation with Willian and Luiz and what have you. But for me, I think you have to focus more on the youngsters. You know, someone like Aziz coming through, there's a couple of other ones that have been promoted to the first team squad as well. I think one of the Charlie Patino and another guy as well. I can't pronounce his name, begins with C. I think James probably knows who I'm on about.
The Romanian kid?
I think so.
Don't know that.
But yeah, I just think you have to look at that. I think you have to look at, you know, trying to get, you know, a bit more freedom, more, you know, into the game, because when we've seen that, we've created chances, we've looked a lot better. Again, a lot of it will hinge on Saka again, unfortunately, and I'm just worried that he's going to get a big injury because, you know, he just doesn't get any protection at all. You know, you can see, Jack Grealish is him and Jack Grealish spar a lot on social media and everything. And you know, Jack Grealish rates him as a player. Obviously, they meet up in England duty, and you know, he just said, look, just smash him. You know, because we know what this guy he can destroy us. And you can see everyone was just smashing into him, but he doesn't get the protection that other England players do because he's an Arsenal player. But I'm worried about him getting a big one. But I think, Jack, you just have to, he has to put more focus on faith in the youngsters and try and blood them through, because what's he going to do? Going to rely on the likes of El Neni again and Dennis Bias and, dare I say it, Willian again as well.
Exactly, because if you know these players, and if Arteta's been told, you know, you've got next season no matter what, then the likes of Luis and even Lacazette, who I'm a big fan of and I think makes this system work to a certain degree, if you know they're not going to be here next season, which looks very likely for both of them, then and the league has nothing really left in it, then you start to take those out. I'd rather see Mari every week. I'd rather see Martinelli used a little bit more every week, you know, and taking those players out rather than, and he has to make things work, right? He has to, if he's going to make a call on big players, which he has, he's removed Ozil from the equation, which I agree with, he removed Guendouzi from the equation, Torreira, then he also in the summer needs to be told, well, okay, you've also made a call on Willian, which you got wrong. So here's the deal. You need to make Martinelli work because we've invested in this boy. He's going to be the next big thing, but you need to find a position for him and make it work. Saliba, 30 million we've spent on him. I know you didn't, but I'm telling you now, we're not good enough to not make this kid work because he's going and winning man of the match every week at Nice. Okay. And he's saying things in the media about Arsenal, and he's clearly not happy with how he was treated, but you can't make a cutthroat decision on absolutely everyone because the club has invested on Pepe, 72 million. You wasted him for 3 months at the start of the season by putting him on the bench for Dubai boy. We need to go and make a decision on him. You know, so he has to at the very least be given some sort of accountability, not just for his right decisions. And Arteta has made a lot of right decisions, I think, with removing of Deadwood and things like that, but for some of the decisions that I think maybe he's got wrong. And I'm fine with him being given next season. Maybe he can really make a difference when he's able to make more changes to the squad. But at the same time, you know, he's got to be given some sort of accountability for some of these players we've invested so much money in, I think. But do we do the refs for a couple of minutes? So, the root cause of the injustice, Mike, where do you take it back to? So I'll go back to James in a second. But where do you take it back to? I mean, I go back, but I'm younger than you, just about, even though James is questioning it, how young Mike's looking. But I go back to the start of the Wenger era, and I say first foreign coach coming in that's successful in the Premier League. We're up against the rivals of Manchester United with the British core of David Beckham and Paul Scholes and all of these players coming through. And Wenger brings through and starts to buy foreign players, right? And we weren't the first team to have a foreign first 11. I think that was Chelsea, but we were always known as that team that was foreign influence, right? French manager coming in and being successful. And ever since then, I felt a root sort of injustice from referees in the league. And I've never really felt it's changed. I do feel it's less so now, to be honest. I felt it at the height of it. Maybe it was because we were so good. I felt at the height of it under the Wenger era. Did it start differently to you then? And what do you think about the decisions in the Wolves and Villa game?
I think it went back a little bit further than that. But then obviously Wenger coming in and doing what he did showed a lot of people up. I think, you know, you just go back to the first battle of Old Trafford where, was it Dennis Irwin and Brian McClair decide to kick Nigel Winterburn in the head and we get deducted 2 points and they get deducted one. But, you know, that's a different story. You know, that's same old Arsenal, you know, that fans like to sing. But Wenger, I don't know if you remember, was it his second season? I think we played Sunderland away or something like that, and Vieira got sent off, and then he got sent off again. And the rules were different. If you got sent off, you could play because the suspension didn't kick in for a couple of days after. So I think you got sent off against Sunderland, and then he got sent off against Liverpool. I remember he ripped his shirt off, and he threw it off, and it's like they wanted to get him out of the game because they just kept on treating him bad. In that game against Sunderland, I think he had an incident with a fourth official. And they tried to do him for a 12-game ban. If you look it up, they were just on Wenger right from the beginning. They didn't like the fact that he'd come from Japan, for example. So I think if you'd have looked at him and said, oh, he's come from Bayern Munich or he's come from Barcelona or whatever, and this, you know, ooh. Because he's come from Japan and Ferguson made that comment about him, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I think that's all stuck with it, and because he was a bit aloof and he's intelligent, way above these guys, I just think something there has just grated officials, and we've just been treated, you know, the media narrative has played into it as well, you know, the way we're talked about on the radio, or the way we're talked about in commentary, you know, the way we're not, you know, people aren't impartial when it comes to Arsenal. It's totally biased against every club. You know, whenever Liverpool play, Carragher's on the punditry. Whenever Man United play, Neville's there. Whenever Arsenal play, you see the studio, and there's no Arsenal representation at all most of the time. I just think it's the whole narrative and everything else just leads to this. Arsenal are soft touch, and they don't like James said. There's no leaders there really. There's no one there to back it up, because if you look at game 50, every single tackle that went in, who was the first person there? Vieira. Vieira was always there, trying to get his point across. And obviously, people say, "Well, it didn't work, did it?" But the fact of the matter was that he was there, giving it, and he didn't back down. And you know, we could go on and say, but I just think the lack of transparency in the whole referee situation, I've said for a long time, as long as there's no transparency, all these conspiracy theories and stuff like that will come about and people will say, you know, da da da. But I think it would be great if something came to light in regards to that, because you look at the stats and Arsenal get a yellow card for every third tackle or something, like 3.7 tackles. And other teams like Liverpool get a yellow card after 14 tackles on average. That's huge. That's huge. With the way Liverpool play, with the pressing and everything, and the way they clatter into people, wouldn't you think that'd be the other way around? But hey, you know, you know, we're paranoid and stuff like that. There's definitely something there. But like you said, at the time, you know, we were too good. So it didn't really matter that much. You know, we were so good, we could beat teams with 10 men. At the moment, we're not there in terms of that level. But yeah, it's you know, the decisions the last couple of games have been, you know, pretty much, you know, just shocking. You know, like Toy Factory, you know, Toy Factory stuff again. Like, you know, Stockley Park, that's what they're good for.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I agree with all that. I mean, I felt the sort of hit from the refs less probably in the last season or two. I don't know why. Maybe I'm seeing it from a perspective of things that we can control with our team. Like my biggest frustration, for example, like we all agree that Luis should have probably at the most probably been given a yellow card, and it was given as a red because if he did touch him, it's accidental. He didn't mean to do it. But my biggest frustration is always currently with things that we can control. So why did you step up, Luis, when we had 20 seconds left on the clock? That I still go back to that. I'm like, why did you do that? Right, the Villa ones is harder because for those instances weren't mistakes, it was just mistakes from the ref. I felt Lacka was pulled down, right? Yep. Emi Martinez can say what he likes, starting to dislike him now after liking him so much 6 months ago.
Bit cocky,
Cocky, isn't it? Yeah, really frustrating me, really annoyed at me with those comments on Twitter because it was pretty obvious to me. Though in fairness, and this is not sort of supporting the refs at all, for some reason those incidents don't typically get given, do they? Goalkeeper on a player? No, it's all about protecting the goalkeeper in that situation. The second one to me is ludicrous. It throws me back to the cup final where Chelsea fans were livid, and I was still livid after winning the cup final that Aspilicueta didn't get sent off, because I said I could not believe that this guy, and they tried to claim that Rudiger, who's slower than Mertesacker, was going to catch Aubameyang, and I couldn't believe. And you have to take into account the quality of the player there. Saka is the fastest player on that pitch. He is, I don't care if he's in our own half, he is gone. He has got, no one is catching him, right? And the argument that, you know, Saka fouled Konsa, all this sort of rubbish, absolute nonsense. So I felt those two in the Villa ones actually frustrated me more in a way than the Wolves one, because I felt Luis made an error. I also felt even if he didn't mean to clip him, get the heck out of the way, Luis. Just get the heck out of the way. Don't be near him. James, I don't know. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah, you're both absolutely spot on. But the other thing that really winds me up is after these games, our players go on social media, be it Instagram, Twitter, they post these funny memes of where they've been caught like staring at the ref. And it's like, it's not fully calling him, what's the word I'm trying to use? It's like subliminally calling him a tosser.
Passive aggressive, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, in that moment, look at the Wolves one with David Luiz. He sits on the floor as if to be like, I'm guilty. Get straight back up.
Yeah.
Go watch the screen. I've done nothing. Make him watch it. But he sat there like, shit.
That's what Mike's saying with Vieira, isn't it?
Yeah.
At least fight your case.
Yeah.
And do it after the game with a pitcher. Do it on the pitch.
Yeah. And Xhaka, who I think has got better ever since he's grabbed the geezer, all the time verbal. Go be verbal there and go, watch that fucking, you know, watch that fucking screen. It's something that make them make that decision, because we're so easy to just go, oh yeah, okay, well, I'm sent off again. Ugh.
Yeah, the second concert tackle. Why aren't we storming the ref? Why aren't we? I know they're saying don't do it, but every club does it. Wolves, after the Luis one, all I see is Podence and they are flying at the ref. Mm-hmm. You have to play the game, right?
That Matinho is in like a hawk.
Yeah.
And that penalty.
If we think there's an injustice, which I agree with what I do think, every club in a sense will think that their club is getting an injustice in a way. We think it more. I think we have more justification for it. But you have to. Why aren't the players? Why aren't they seeing that? Even Lacka, when he gets pulled down, you should be flying at the ref. I wouldn't even let the game. I would go in, take the booking, booking.
Yeah.
Go and fly at him. Why don't you care as much as we do about this?
It used to annoy the living daylights out of me because they always used to win. But Man United, when it was Neville, Ferdinand, Rooney, like that later era. I mean, people going about their team in 98, the one in 99, sorry, not 98, the one in 2008 when it was Ronaldo, Tevez, when one of them got tackled, fuck me, Rooney and Ferdinand, and they were in, just in.
Oh, Gary Neville was the worst as well, wasn't he?
And I'm like, but they got, and I know they got the decisions, but there is that whole, especially with fans not there, there is that mentality of they do, they might cave under the pressure. Mm-hmm. And but we just we just roll over and let them tickle our belly. And it's I don't get it. I really don't get it.
I want to draw a line on a ref bit, but I mean, I'm not blinded, right? I remember this season at times, and it is, there's never the one, it does frustrate me a little bit, because when I know we're this bad, I don't want to make excuses for being this bad. So I naturally, you know, move off the, in the Wolves game, I was frustrated as anyone, because I felt we should have won that game, especially first half. But we forget, don't we? We forget the Ceballos incident at Everton where he dragged down someone's leg and he got away with it. Elneny pushing someone in the face in the penalty area against Burnley, got away with it. Gabriel at Old Trafford should have been sent off. It was a really stupid tackle. He was on a booking, got away with it. So we've had some stuff go with us this season specifically as well.
My there was point another was, Mari one, wasn't it? Chelsea.
He got away a little bit. Yeah. And so I think in the last two games, no doubt, injustice has been there. Over the course of my Arsenal supporting career, I think it's been, you know, to be honest, somewhat ludicrous at times, especially for me in that early Wenger era. I just felt it was shocking, to be honest. We were good enough to
cover it. It's like when you put your tweet up. When you put your tweet up the other day, I was like, those refs back then, and I was a kid back then. But when I had a season ticket, they were terrible. I remember watching games when it was Durkin or Rennie or any, and I was Paul.
Rennie, do you remember? He was so fast, wasn't he? Rennie, do you remember?
You want a funny? I'll tell you a funny story just quick. I know we want to wrap up. I'll tell you a funny story, right? I'm at Arsenal versus Chelsea. They've still got Ranieri in charge at Highbury. He stand up our season ticket with my dad. I'm reading the back of the programme. My dad goes to me. He goes, Jamesy boy. I'm like, yeah, dad. He's like, who's ref today? I go, oh, it's Graham Poll. He went, I fucking hate Graham Poll. Swearing. All of a sudden, this woman who sat in front of us turns around and she goes, can you not say stuff like that about my dad? It was brilliant.
Yeah, he was a nightmare though, wasn't he, Paul?
His daughter and his brother were sat right in front of us, and my dad's like, I fucking hate Graham Poll.
Do you remember?
Oh, it's brilliant.
That's brilliant. Do you remember Durkin when Petit stopped him and he sent him off? Don't touch me, he said. Sent him off. I think it was next Villa. It'll proper Mike Dean about him, wouldn't he? The frustration with VAR, I mean, I don't dislike VAR per se, because in theory, you can't dislike technology that would work. It's the people that are actually implementing it. The problem, the conspiracies come in here, is when, you know, someone like Mike Dean makes a decision, goes and looks at it on the monitor, when everyone in the world knows it's a ludicrous decision, but because his ego is so big, he can't oversee it, and he continues to give the decision. And that's where the real issue here is. What we're seeing is that referees just grossly in England are not willing to admit their wrongdoing. They're not willing to be transparent, like Mike said, but also admit that they were wrong. What's wrong with that? If a ref came out after the Wolves game and said, you know what, I got it wrong on Luis. I thought he meant to clip him and he didn't, and it was a booking. I got it wrong. I'm sorry about that. How many of us would go, fair play, ref. Fair play to you there. But nothing.
Got him. Next season, mic him up.
Oh, we've got a mic.
We have got to have him. We've got to have him mic'd up, because they won't do this stuff. If they're there, I mean, Mike Dean, you want to be the star of the show. There you go. You're on camera now. You're on... Speak.
Not enough punishment either.
And the other thing that really wound me up as well is, and I don't advocate death threats or anything to anybody, however, the FA, when they come out and they went, we're going to do all within our power to find whoever's done this and charge them and hopefully get them banned from social media or everything else. Where was that statement for Twan Zabi at Man United after he got all that for Rashford?
Yeah.
It's ex-players that are doing it, that are sat there going, you know, look at that with Ian Wright the other day. I said it weeks ago. There are players there that when they come and sit in a studio and everything else, all they've got to talk about is racism, and they've got so much more to offer. Micah Richards can sit there and talk about a brilliant bit of defending, or you know, Ian Wright could talk about a brilliant goal and everything. You've got all that, but it all comes back to this conversation again about racism all the time. And that really, really annoyed me, because I was like, where's the equality there in terms of making sure? Because, you know, Twan Zabi's a young kid as well. I mean, we've had it with our own players from Arthur. Well, I don't even call them fans. They're idiots, you know.
Yeah, we've heard about today, Mikel Arteta, family, you know, receiving. Yeah. No, we don't. Yeah. I mean, I criticise. I've never abused anyone. No player, no nothing. Would never do that. And I think that's disgusting. But again, every fan base now, because social media really has no filter, has a small proportion of fans. And I still do believe and hope it's a small proportion of them that are doing just ridiculous things to, I don't know, get attention, or just because they're just, you know, not good people. And that's terrible, and that's devastating. And you know, you don't whether we agree with Mikel Arteta with his decisions or not, that's just ridiculous. So I just, let's do the Leeds game. I think we'll draw a line under ref stuff. We know they're a joke, and it's not going to change. The biggest frustration there is we know it's not changing. So I always go back to, what the heck can we do better here? Can we react better in the game to these things, not feel like we've been hard done by, for at least for the 90 minutes, you know, that kind of thing. And I think we've got a lot of players that like to make excuses on the pitch, right? It's all very well us doing it. We're fans. You can't do that when you're playing on a pitch. You've got to carry on. So there's the frustration. So Leeds, Partey and Tierney are out, Mike. What are your solutions for those two players who are out for this game? And how would you approach it? They are a high, high energy team. They score a lot. They concede a lot.
Yeah. I think you probably have to go with Cedric again on the left, and then Bellerin on the right. I know some people are talking about putting Saka back as left back, but I just think because he offers so much and it's just a totally different dimension to things on, you know, going forward. I think we're going to need him further up. But yeah, probably Cedric, and then obviously Bellerin on the other side. In the midfield, it's probably going to be Dani Ceballos most probably, and Xhaka. I know Ceballos has just come back from being injured, so maybe not. He might go with someone with legs in there. You might do what you said, but possibly have maybe someone like Odegaard, and maybe even Emile Smith Rowe, because it, maybe dovetail it, maybe swapping it, because that's probably a way that you can fit Aubameyang in and have Lacazette in the middle, and then obviously have Pepe in, but then obviously over on the right again. So you know, he's got some choices to make, but yeah, he's probably going to go safe, probably with Xhaka and possibly Elneny, just for the legs of Elneny, you know, who's able to maybe chase things down a bit, because like you said, Leeds are, you know, they're mental, and they just run all game. So it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be, you know, a lot of suffering in that one, I think.
I think
it's going to be an enjoyable game again for us to endure.
Well, thanks, mate. You've really lifted my spirits. I'm looking forward to it. Other thing, before I do a couple of fans questions and get your predictions, is you're spot on. You're spot on. I'm worried about it. They're full of energy, aren't they? I was watching a clip of Bielsa in training and I got scared today. I was just like, oh God, he's got so much energy about him, isn't he? His team is.
Did you hear something about they play something called Murder Ball or something? Have you heard about that?
No, go on.
No, they mentioned it to Arteta in his presser, and you said, you know, that Bielsa does this thing called Murder Ball, where it's like for 20 minutes, and it's just absolutely bonkers. It's bonkers football for 20 minutes. It only lasts 20 minutes long enough. I'd love to see it, but I can only imagine what it's like. No rules. It's just like, you know, take people out, two-footed, carry
isn't
on.
That, isn't that what Cedric was doing against Villa in the first? That's Murder Ball, isn't it, to me?
It's every time Xhaka passes back.
Willian coming on is Murder Ball, isn't it?
The worrying thing there is the two guys that are really sort of press resistant and able to go both ways in Tierney and Partey are out. So we're really looking like quite a much sort of less athletic team. Before I do a couple of questions, just got two or three, I think. But James, centre back, is there an argument to say it could be Luis, Gabriel, or Mari? I mean, it's literally, I wouldn't be surprised to see either one of them alongside. I expect Holding to start because he's kind of be the mainstay of the team. But do you think, is that I mean, who would you pick?
I would pick Holden and Mari, even though Gabriel is the best centre back at the club. In my opinion, yeah, I would pick Holden and Mari just because I think they're the best partnership. However,
stats back that, don't they?
Yeah. However, Gabriel is really, really good in the air, and I think with Bamford, I think you probably want him in the air against him. But and he's got the recovery speed, hasn't he? I mean, Mari's got that technical brain where he doesn't really leave himself in these foot races. Yeah, that's a toughie, and I like what you said about going with Odegaard and Emil Smith Rowe together. However, you can't leave Granit Xhaka against Leeds at the back.
He's never going to do it.
He's going to get absolutely rinsed. So
more likely to be an Elneny, isn't it?
Well, that's it. But then you're lacking. You know, you said earlier about the service and the lack of the goals and everything else. You got to play Ceballos, because when they're on that high press with that Dallas and Cooper or whoever it is that they play at centre half, they sometimes overlap. And if you can catch one of them in the act and then slot an Aubameyang or Pepe or Saka or Lacazette in, Danny Ceballos, you want doing that. You know, we've all praised Elneny, and then all of a sudden Elneny's sort of regressed again. But he ain't that guy to thread the ball on, you know, the spur of the moment and everything else. And for me, tempo's the main thing. I think the tempo just needs to increase 10. You know, if you can, the old, what is it, Spinal Tap, mine goes to 11. Yeah, put it on 11.
Yeah, because 10 hours to go to 110.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I'm worried again, but there's very few games that I'm not worried about this season, so it's not going to make any change.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
so it shows where we're at, really. But I'm worried. I could see the Saka thing at left back, like Mike said, just because I think he might say, I still think Pepe deserves a start, but I need to get Aubameyang back in, so he might flick Pepe back over to the right. I don't agree with that personally, because I think it changes too much unnecessarily. But I could see it happening, because he wants maybe some more athleticism in the back four, maybe something like that. Joe the Gooner, top man Joe, at Daddy Gooner 83. He's had some terrible health issues, and he always tweets us and messages James about, just what he's been through and how the podcast is like a nice outlet for him. I know he's struggling a lot health-wise, and especially during a pandemic and things like that. So if we can help a little bit, and I know he loves getting us questions in and listening to the podcast. So Joe, you've been with us for a while. We appreciate it. What was it? I've got mine written down for Joe. So I thought I'm going to answer his question specifically. What positions do we need to strengthen in the summer? My list is right back, Sel Bellerin. You know my thoughts. Left back, backup. Central midfielder, Basuma. Number 10, hopefully Odegaard. And a striker to replace Lacazette. Anyone got any others?
I am exactly the same. However, I still believe that you may have to get a centre half, because, like you said earlier, I think he's done. I think he could be done. Sadly,
it's terrible if it is, isn't it? I mean, terrible. I'm not condoning what Saliba's coming out and saying, because I don't think you should do that anyway. The only thing I can get from me is that he probably knows that if he keeps doing this long enough, Arteta will rid of him anyway. And can you imagine Saliba comes to Arsenal, you know, new country, gets thrown out of the team, not part of it. He probably doesn't want to come back, does he?
I just don't understand where the agent is in all this. You know,
yeah, I don't know.
Who's in it? Because obviously, I don't mean to be, you know, grim in any way, but
damn, it's my
quite a short space of time. So, where is his influence? Do you know what I mean? Surely the agent there has got to be one of the biggest elder positive figures in his life. And if I was him, I'd be going to him, look, mate, you got a big chance here, because look at the defenders Arsenal have got. They're not great. You know, they're not overly, and you could solidify yourself here for 5, maybe 10 years, or even if you just get 5, you do well, you're going to have a Real Madrid or whoever knocking, because we deep down, we're a selling club. We all know that.
Yeah, stick to our habits.
And, yeah. do you know what I mean? If he plays well for 3 to 5 years for us, at his age, someone's going to come in and take him.
Yeah, I don't think, I just can't believe that's one we're gonna throw away. I just can't believe that we're gonna do that. But
centre forward, go get Lukaku. I know you're like,
I watched him the other day. He's so slow. I know. I agree. Arteta would love him. I bet Arteta would love him.
Because that's the guy.
I do find it weird how bad Aubameyang is in the air. I mean, he is 6'2". You should be able to at least head the ball. Do you know what I mean? I mean, he is awful in it. It's like he's never headed the ball before, but whatever. There's me moaning about our best striker. At Le Champ, come on, you Gunners, @Lee_Champ. Matt, I think his name's Matt. Personally, we feel we have a squad, good enough players to finish in the top four, Mike, and have some good cup runs. How do we get out of this habit of beating ourselves? And is Arteta the man to make it happen? Putting you on the spot there, Mike.
We've mentioned it a little bit earlier, haven't we? I think we've all, to a man, agree that we've got, agree with Max that we've got a better squad than we've had previously, especially under Emery. I think maybe with Ramsey being the one that you would have had in there, I know there's been a bit of rumours about him possibly coming back on the free. Yeah. I don't know about that, but I think with the way the league is, there's a chance there. I think the next six games, especially if things don't go well, wherever it is we're playing Benfica, I think then
Rome
pressure
the first leg,
and then Greece the second one. Yeah, I mean, just bonkers. I just think we've got some, it all goes into that basket, doesn't it? If we don't get a good result away, then you follow that up with playing Man City. You've got the return leg, and you've got Leicester away and Burnley away. Nice easy games. If we who knows what state of play is going to be, who's going to be injured, who's going to be fit. It's really difficult. So we could be free falling. Come the end of that, because right now, like you said, you worry about every game now, don't you? When have we ever gone into a game thinking, we've got this? Probably Fulham, the first game. Probably not even Fulham, because we probably weren't even sure what was going on, who was going to be the keeper, who wasn't. On paper, we have got a squad that should definitely be in European football. If that's seventh, if that's because of whoever wins the cup, maybe, and it drops down, that might be a route in. We might have to rely on that. But I think as a squad that we've got to be getting European football. Anything less than that is definitely a failure. And then you have to start asking questions, because the whole accountability thing for the players, it has to be with the manager. And he mentioned that himself right at the start, his first interview. Everyone needs to be accountable. And I think before you start talking about contract extensions, you need to be looking at securing European football, because I don't think with a pandemic and the money that the club's losing, they're going to look too kindly of, all right, yeah, well, yeah, don't worry about that 30 million we're going to lose from getting in the Europa League. We'll swallow that. No, I don't think so. It's not going to happen, is it?
No, I agree.
Did Matt say that he believed we had a squad good enough for top four?
Yeah, it might be a bit optimistic, but I think top six for sure.
Top six, I'd say.
Six.
Definitely.
I was going to say, I don't want to criticise Matt. We haven't got Champions League for nearly three or so.
Yeah, I think that's hard. Seasons. And I think I don't think anyone was expecting Champions League football, but to not get Europa League football or even compete for it. At the moment, we're not really in contention for it via the league. I think that is really hard to say we've made progress. I think it's really hard. I think that's fairly logical. Some people are telling me I'm overly negative, and those people I typically mute. So I was hoping for Bernadette. We're almost done. Sorry. Bernadette 68 says, I was hoping for top six and a trophy at the beginning of the season. Do you think there's any realistic chance, James, of us winning the Europa League? Let me just list some of the teams to you, because I want to help Bernadette as well here. Think about it. We've got Milan, top of Italian league. Man U, going pretty well. Real Sociedad, old Nacho. The Scum, Lille, I think, are still in it. Ajax, Napoli. Let me move to the next page. You got Rangers, who were doing very well, Villarreal and old Unai there with his back six, and Benfica, of course. There are some good sides. I think that's a lot of the big sides. Do you think we have the ability to be able to win that, Bernadette's asked?
What I would say,
I've guided is, you.
Yeah. What I would say is we're a better cup side. At the moment, we are a cup team. And with the way this is going and the way it's structured, I feel that it might go back to what they did last year where they go, right, neutral venue, and it's all one legs. It's all one leg games. And after that happens, that plays into our favour massively, which, and I think it will. So if it goes to, if it goes to that format, then yeah, probably. I would fancy us to get it. But as well as that, I still feel that top six is on.
Carry on for a second. Let me just read out, just before we get your predictions, a Premier League table. Okay, so you think top six is more likely than winning the Europa League, do you?
No. Oh, God, no. No, no. Oh, winning the Europa League is more likely, but it's still you can't write off top six until it's mathematically impossible for us to do it.
I'm writing it off now. I am writing it off now. Yeah. I'll tell you what, if we get it, I'll spend 5 minutes eating humble pie.
He's not here. Someone had to feel the Neil positivity.
Yeah, I've noticed.
So I have slotted into Neil's positive role.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. There's 8 points, but there's so many teams between us and that. And there's actually teams below us that are above us if they win their game in hand.
And when I make my prediction, people are going to go, how the hell do you still think we're going to get top six?
Exactly. I think we'll end up... Personally, I think we'll end up around where we are now, maybe ninth. That's what I personally think. But that's what I think. Last question is from Melvin. It says, just because a defender makes 90% of his tackles, does that make him a good defender? I'm referring to Holding versus Everton, Wolves and Villa, where his awareness and decision making was not existent or non-existent. I'm in the format of not necessarily believing Holding's our best centre-back, but more believing that he's the only one that's been able to stay fit. And he's the only one that's really logically there for a right-sided centre-back in a back four. Is that where we're all at? I think he's done okay, pretty well, better than a lot of people thought. I think maybe Melvin's been tiny tad bit harsh, though I do agree definitely on a Villa one. And, you know, the Wolves one to a certain degree that he could have done better. But I do think he's been our most consistent defender because he's probably the fittest defender, touch wood. I don't know if you think that. But...
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would say the numbers don't lie, Melvin. Do you know what I mean? At the same time, I go from that class of the Paolo Maldini, where he says, if I have to slide, I've already made a mistake. So, and we know that he's lacking mobility-wise. And we know that he plays better because all of us have said it. The guy's the Lescott, not the Vincent Kompany. He's the Gomez, not the Van. Do you know what I mean? If you put him with the, look how well he used to play with Mertesacker, because Mertesacker would guide. Look, same principle with Mari. And again, you know, he is the best of what we've got at the moment. I don't want to say a bad bunch because, you know, a lot of them have been better than what, you know, I wrote most of them off last season, but they've improved a bit more. But we still, again, it goes back to the question with the trans. I still think you need an upgrade there in the summer. If you're not going to...
You need that boy from Nice, to be honest.
If not him, I know we're doing a bloody supermarket sweep of Brighton. We're taking their goalkeeper. We all want their right back. So it's like, go get Lewis Dunk as well.
Dunkin' Donuts in the middle.
Let's do a four for one. We'll give you one Eddie if we get four of you.
I'll give it away with Eddie away with cereal box. Predictions before we go. I've overran. Sorry. Predictions, Mike. Arsenal Leeds, at home. We are 9 points away from safety. What's your prediction, Mike?
Lots of pain.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna predict the score. It's gonna be lots of pain, man. Oh, it's gonna be horrible. Gonna need a shower after we watch that game, mate. It's gonna be like, oh,
Yeah, you should go into Jennings and go, what are the odds on Payne for Arsenal? Let's see what odds they give you on that. I bet you they won't give you any odds on that. They'll go,
does Jennings still exist?
No. Betfair. This is shows how little I know about gambling.
I don't hang out with
Daniel Sturridge.
I'll say a squeaky 2-1. But it'll be bloody hard work to us, 2-1 to us, and Lacazette, I'd say. But it's gonna be horrible.
it's gonna be absolutely horrible, isn't it?
You were talking about your Twitter DMs for the pod earlier. Old Jennings will come out of nowhere and go, "Oh, did you mention us? Do you want to? Can we sponsor you next week? We'll get
are
Jennings.
Are they gone?
Purely Arsenal, brought to you by Jennings.
I'll do it. People do Manscaped. I'm not lower than that. Who is it? Oh, Paddy Power. We should say that. Nine points away from safety, though, Jake. Because if we get a win there, we're almost there, to be honest.
And we're near your 40 points, aren't we?
I should never have said the comment of longing for a mid-table finish. But James, what's your prediction? And
I'm gonna do a 1-1. And sadly, and I think the safest bet to go with is Lacazette.
I'm still 50-50 on whether he starts him or not, or decides to pull him and try to play Aubameyang central. Though we've seen nothing from Aubameyang centrally to say he should be. But I'll go 2-2. I'll go Saka. Because I think he's the one for sure player that is starting out of that front three at this point. If he's fit, of course. And when Arteta did talk about players being on the brink, which is never nice when you've got two players already out. And so players being on the brink, not good. We got them, and then we got Benfica in midweek. Hopefully we do one before that game and reviewing this game. James, Mike, have I missed anything? Are we good to go?
I ain't got nothing more to add, I'm afraid.
Unless you
wanted something.
No. All right, boys. Well, keep the faith. Up the Arsenal. We got, it's still something in the season left yet. We're not out of everything yet. We basically are, but we're not yet. It's the hope that kills you. All right, boys. Enjoy your weekend, Arsenal as well. And listen to us on at Purely Arsenal FP on Twitter. We're posting the links there and on YouTube. Look for Purely Arsenal. Thank you. See our beautiful faces. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.